Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program. Every once in a while, I'm confronted by someone who asks me, "Do you know that nowhere in the New Testament is tithing commanded?" So I ask, "Well, what's your point?" The response is, "So you don't have to tithe." So I ask, "Why not?" The response is, "Because we're not under the old covenant anymore. We're under the new covenant, so you don't have to tithe." So I ask, "Do you even know what the new covenant is?" The response is yes. The new covenant is found in Jeremiah 31, where God says he will put his laws in our minds and write them on our hearts. So I ask, "Well, since the law of the fourth commandment is written on your heart, do you observe the Sabbath?" That is usually the end of the conversation because the person who asked the question does not obey the new covenant. But getting back to the question of tithing, if indeed the commandment to tithe is not repeated as a commandment in the New Testament, would that really mean that it is no longer a commandment? Is being commanded in the Old Testament and then being repeated as a commandment in the New Testament the requirement for the continuance of a commandment to still be in force? To begin to answer that question, let's start by looking at tithing from a couple of different perspectives. One perspective we'll look at is whether or not tithing really is or is not a commandment in the New Testament. Another perspective we'll look at is to determine the nature of tithing. Is tithing a commandment, an obligation, or both? Let's first look at tithing from the perspective of an obligation. I'm going to use buying a house as an example. Let's say I want to buy a house, but I don't have enough money, so I have to borrow the money I need from the bank. I find the house I want, I buy the house, and I'm sitting in front of the bank signing the papers to receive the extra money I need from the bank in order to buy the house. And the banker says to me, "On the first of every month, your first obligation is to make a payment to the bank." So here's a question. When the banker told me my first obligation on the first of every month was to pay the bank, was that a command? And when I told the banker that I agreed to make the payment on the first of every month, was that an obligation? Is the transaction of receiving the money I need a commandment, an obligation, or both? When I get my monthly wages, is it all mine to do with as I please? Or is only a portion of it mine and the other portion belongs to the bank? The bank's portion is not mine. It is my obligation to the bank. I get the increase I need for the house from the bank, and the bank gets a portion of my monthly increase. Here's the point. Yes, I am commanded to pay the bank, but the command is also an obligation. The payment is the requirement I must pay for the increase the bank has given me. Now, on the surface of it, it may not seem like that example is a good example of biblical tithing, because the choice to get a house and borrow the increase I needed from the bank were my decision to make, whereas tithing to God was not my decision to make. It was God's. God didn't ask me if I wanted to tithe. He commanded me to pay a tithe. As we look at the scriptures related to personal increase and tithing, we'll see that the assumption that tithing is strictly a commandment and not an obligation is not correct. Let's look at Haggai 2, verse 8. "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." We see here that all the gold and silver belong to God. Gold and silver are money. God is plainly saying that all the money and all that money represents belong to him. It's not that God only owns all the gold and silver, but he owns all the heaven and earth, and all the increase thereof are his. That is what Haggai 2:8 is revealing to us. Even the money that the banker originally loaned to me came from God. So do you want some gold and silver? Suppose you wanted to buy a house, but needed some gold and silver in order to buy some shelter. Or suppose you went hungry and cold. Would you want some gold and silver then? Would you be willing to say to God, if you provide me with some gold and silver, I will pay you a tithe of all the increase you give me? You were willing to say that to the banker. Are you also willing to say those words to God? Now let's look at some verses that talk about tithing and its relationship to the just and the unjust. I'll read Malachi 3, verses 7 through 10. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. In the first half of verse 7, God is telling us to return to him. Then in the second part of the verse, verse 7, the people ask, in what way shall we return? God answers beginning in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. God tells us that by failing to meet our obligation to pay to pay him through tithing for the increases he has given us, we are robbing God. Then in verse 9, God says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So in verse 10, God actually challenges us to test him. And all we have to do is stop robbing God and meet our obligation of tithing. Next, he tells us what he will do if we will meet his challenge and fulfill our obligation. God says he will, for you, the windows of heaven and your, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. If the tithe that we are obligated to pay God is really ours to begin with, then we can't be robbing God if we don't pay it to him. Now going back to our example of getting money from the bank, if we don't meet our obligation to the bank, are we robbing the bank? The bank would certainly think so. Likewise, if we don't meet our obligation to pay God, are we robbing God? God certainly says so. Just like there is a portion of our income that belongs to the bank, there is also a portion of our income that belongs to God. The amount to pay God is a commandment. The responsibility to pay is our obligation. Now we'll look at the example of the patriarch Abraham. Abraham plays a prominent role in both the Old Testament and the New Testament when it comes to understanding the obligation of tithing. Let's look at the Old Testament example first, beginning from when Melchizedek blessed God Most High in Genesis 14, verse 20. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemy into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the person and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Here we see that Abram paid Melchizedek a tithe of all he had, which included not only a tithe of grain and livestock, but also a tithe of gold and silver. and notice that Abram did not take any of the spoils of war. Abram paid a tithe only on the increase God gave him. The king of Sodom gave nothing to Abram. In order to understand the importance of the identity of Melchizedek, we'll read part of Psalm 110 that speaks of Jesus. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a reference to Jesus Christ. Now let's look at an example of tithing in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. The verses in Hebrews are a reference back to the example of the tithes Abram paid to Melchizedek. The book of Hebrews was written after the death of Jesus and was written, at least partially, to help the Hebrews understand that Jesus is the Messiah. We'll start in Hebrews 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In verses 19 and 20, the Hebrews are told that Jesus, instead of the Levites, is now our high priest. I will continue reading Hebrews 7, verses 1 and 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. In these two verses, we and the Hebrews are told that Abraham paid a tithe of all to Melchizedek. A tithe of all includes a tithe of all gold and silver, as well as a tithe of all grain and livestock. Now let's continue in the first part of verse 5. Hebrews 7, verse 5. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. Notice, the Levites are commanded to receive tithes. Now let's drop down to verse 8. Hebrews 7, verse 8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Here we learn that Levi, through Abraham, actually paid tithes to the one who became Jesus Christ. Now let's ask a question. Why would God mention Melchizedek and the example of Abraham's tithing when proving to the Hebrews that Jesus was the Messiah? There are hundreds of scriptures in the Old Testament that point to Jesus as the Messiah. So why use Abraham, Melchizedek, and tithing as an example? There are two reasons. One reason is to point out to the Hebrews that there has been a change in the priesthood. Jesus is now high priest. And those he appointed to in his church as apostles, prophets, and priests replaced the tribe of Levi as the priesthood. The second reason is to point out that the Levitical priesthood paid tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham. And the point of that fact is that the priesthood of the Levite is no longer commanded to receive tithes as per Hebrews 7:5. The commandment to receive tithes is now transferred to the priesthood of Melchizedek. As it turns out, it is in the book of Hebrews that we find the obligation to tithe commanded in the New Testament. In the beginning of this sermonette, I mentioned that someone asked me this question. Do you know that nowhere in the New Testament is tithing commanded? That question is intentionally misleading. An accurate question would be, do you know that nowhere in the New Testament is tithing commanded not to be paid? Therefore, let's keep the commandment and fulfill our obligation to pay God his tithe. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.